There's a very small pool
And he
of
has a
people who are
Pulitzer
going to be
Prize.
Kendricks, okay?
Go
Not
online.
Pink.
Hey, just go to University of Phoenix and
I
print your
am
doctor degree
not.
online so
I'm
you
not
can be the next
endorsing it.
Shaquille
I'm not
O'Neal.
endorsing this.
All
Be
right,
the next
listen.
Shaquille O'Neal. Get your
Worst
shit
case
online.
scenario, get you a pair of black Air Force Ones. All right.
Worst case. No
Why
cap.
would you say that knowing
Hey,
I was drinking this water?
no cap.
Welcome to another episode of the It's Just Strokes podcast. My name is Joshua Chapman, aka Slim Balor, aka Baby Giannis, aka Mr. Take Your Girl in Front of Your Face. I'm here with my co-host, as always, first, Jesse Pink.
That's sir, Perky Groovy, back at it again, boy.
Aka Dolomite P, aka Baby Samoa Joe, aka Groovy Grizzly. Why? Because he keeps it raw on you hoes. And Derek Small.
What up, what up, what up?
AKA D Smalls, AKA Anthony Mackey Jr., AKA damn, Derek, where'd you find this pod? Once again, Kobe cannot be with us today because he is working. It is Super Bowl weekend. He got called in last minute, so you know how that goes. But joining us today to end off the Women's History Month spotlight that we are doing is Jalen Johnson, AKA Hey Miss Johnson, AKA St. Louis's finest, aka Jalen Journalism. Jalen, welcome to the pod.
Hello, I'm so happy to be here.
Derek, why don't you tell us a little bit about what Jalen is doing?
For sure, for sure. So we have the intellectual, the amazing, you know, multifaceted Jalen Johnson here.
Oh, keep going.
The fellow Mizzou alum. Shout out to those Tigers. You know, they cool. They cool. Shout out Mizzou. I graduated from there, so I'll give them a shout out.
We love Mizzou.
But yeah, no, she is currently at Mississippi State. So she's still in SEC country. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I know, is it like it's an assistantship, or I know you're working with their media team, but kind of give us a little detail about kind of what your exact role is, just so the audience can get a feel for it.
Yes. So I am a graduate assistant for our athletic department here. I work in our creative team. So my official title that was made up because this position has never been here before is digital reporter and storyteller. So that is what I do. Any on-camera interviews, post games, that's me. So.
And I might say too, those pieces that are produced through you all's team are wonderful. You know, they're amazing. I check them out on your IG. And you said one thing in particular, and we'll get into more of this obviously in the interview, but I really feel like you do make those people that you interview comfortable. You even said something along the lines of like, one of them told you like, I forgot the camera was here. Like, you know, that type of thing. And you know, when you can do that, that you got a great journalist, so.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Give us a snack.
Y'all are so sweet.
All right, so let's get into it. What inspired you to go into or to pursue sports journalism?
So I didn't have any clue, like other high schoolers, every other high school in the world. I had no clue what I wanted to do with my life. I knew that I liked sports. I knew that I liked to talk. I knew that I liked to write. So I was like, went to my college counselor and I said, help, because I have no clue what I want to do. And she was like, sports journalism. And I was like, huh? And I'd like watch ESPN, of course, and like CBS and everybody. And I never really saw myself reflected in what I wanted to do, because there's a lack of Black women in sports journalism, but a lack of women, especially at the time when I was coming out of high school. So I never placed myself there. But she was like, you have the best journalism school down the street, because St. Louis is literally a skip and a jump from Columbia. And she was like, you can go and do that. And I was like, yeah, I can go and do that. Like, I'm going to do that. So I just always have been really inspired by people, and I love people and talking to people and finding out their stories and learning more about them. So my thing is knowing your athlete more than the number on their back and more than their numbers on their stat sheet. So that's what inspired me.
Thanks for telling us about that. So, you know, very touching, very, very touching. No, but seriously though. So if that inspires you, you know, to get into sports journalism, we can argue and say like the landscape of sports journalism, particularly the representation of it, has shifted. So do you believe Or is that more so false? Like, do you believe sports journalism is becoming more diverse in terms of just representation, in terms of content? You know, do you believe it's just coming diverse?
Yes and no. I feel like there definitely are more women now, more Black women now than there has been. But if you look at, like, the landscape of, like, college football, Maria Taylor is the only Black woman that covers at least SEC college football for, like, ESPN, SEC Network, that is aside from, you know, younger that might be doing, like, smaller networks and things like that. But your major network has 1 to 2 Black women covering football. So it's getting better. And just in, like, everything else, everything is expanding. Everybody's in the let's make it more diverse thing now because it's a fad. But I think people have to realize that diversity is not about filling numbers. I think it's about reflecting the people that you're covering. So I'm a big proponent in whoever is your team that is covering your conferences or your whatever the case may be, it should reflect your athletes. And that's something that is not true of sports media right now. And on your major networks, now you have your smaller networks they're doing this, things like what you guys are doing that are having people that look like your athletes talk about things and the problems that are affecting your athletes. So you guys can break down numbers and analytics and all of that thing. But you guys understood what was going on this summer with Black Lives Matter and everything that those guys in the NBA were going through. So I think that's something that's super important, is having that representation there so that you not can only understand your athletes better, but also connect with them better.
And that's so crazy to me, because the women who are represented either in pockets at the large networks or even on the smaller networks, they bring such a different element to the show in general. And it's crazy that these networks can't even see that, you know, just on the surface. Like, if you talk about viewership and numbers and, you know, things like that, and having these women on the shows will increase that, you know, not only from a African-American standpoint of, like, African-American people in general, you know, rooting for them and stuff, but, you know, girls growing up watching these shows and watching SportsCenter, watching this and that, and not seeing people like them, like you said, it could potentially deter them from even pursuing that. Like, luckily you had your counselor kind of steer you in that direction, but like you said, without seeing it, it's almost as if it can be a dream deferred, kind of.
Yeah, and like you said about different perspectives, I know, like, when Taylor Rooks was in the bubble this summer, I forgot who she was talking to or who she's interviewing, but she said she was the only person in the room that asked if the person was okay. Like, with all this stuff going on, are you genuinely okay? And so it's things like that that, you know, certain people don't or won't understand or won't feel, because, like, that's just not in their realm. And that's nothing that's wrong with that, or nothing that you can really do to, you can't fake experience. So it's like, if you haven't had to deal with police brutality, or you haven't had to deal with being Black in a room of white people, then you don't know how that could affect somebody. But Taylor just asking, like, are you okay, to somebody brought out this great answer. I'm really am blanking on who she was talking to. But
was it Fred VanVleet?
I think it might have been VanVleet.
I know she went around asking, like, different NBA players. Also, whoever decides to, like, build, like, a network or whatever around her specific, like, she's so good. They're going to, like.
I don't even have. I am obsessed with her, with Maria Taylor, with my Jemele Hill, with my Carrie Champions of the world, like, people who are just out here doing the thing. But Taylor specifically, I think, was one person who helped me decide kind of what I wanted to do, and seeing all the work that she was doing with Bleacher Report and seeing that she was more, you know, long form focused, more sit down focused, which was something that I really wanted to hone in my second year here. And so I spent quarantine watching Take It There with Taylor Rooks, like, every day, and just studying her and figuring out what things and trying to find my voice and things like that. So I have so many wonderful things. And she was born in St. Louis. So I mean, like, come on, like, come on.
I guess that's good. I guess that's a pass.
I guess
that's the cherry on the cake. I guess.
I'll give you a little snap because I live.
Come on, give it to me.
I'll give you a little snap. I live here, so I won't hate on y'all completely. I won't. But even diving into, like, your undergrad experience, you know, Mizzou's journalism program is known as, you know, very rigorous, known for making people kind of switch paths, you know, myself included, definitely changed my major sophomore year, I took the second class in that sequence. Yeah, and that was just, it was over with from there. But with them being the school that they are, and you know, the program being as rigorous as it is and giving you that experience, how do you feel that prepared you for your career endeavors or even like what you're doing now?
Oh God, I can't thank Mizzou enough. As much as I did cry many times going through that program, just from exhaustion, from frustration, from wondering if I was good enough to be in this position. There is no way that I'd be here without it. Just the experience that you get working in a real newsroom. And I think the Missouri Method, what they call it, is instrumental in figuring out if you're really where you want to be. Because I think some people don't get a chance to actually get into what they want to do until they get out of school and realize that they hate it. Because it's one thing to sit in a classroom and learn how to be a journalist, but it's another thing to go out and actually do it. So I was able to figure out that I really, really, really wanted to be a journalist. There was nothing else that I wanted to do. But then being in that, I realized I didn't want to do local sports. Local sports were fun for the time being, but I knew that I wanted to be at a network. I knew that I wanted to be at a school or an entity or a team or something like that. We had, you know, a lot of people that graduated from the J school. I won't say a lot, a handful of people that graduated from the J school who didn't apply for local sports jobs when they graduated. And I said I was going to follow that. And I didn't. I didn't have a job for a long time after graduation, but in due time, in God's time, and it all worked out the way that it was supposed to. But that the reps that I got at Mizzou made me a better journalist and made me more prepared to come out and be ready to take on my field for sure.
Yeah, that's I mean, that's definitely a testament, as you said, to, you know, being in your own path and doing what you know is right for you. Because you for sure could have gotten a job somewhere doing local sports, but knowing yourself, like you said, would have been miserable doing that. So as someone in sports media and you know, at a school now, and you were previously at a different SEC school and all that sort of thing, like, how do you balance being, you know, a student of the game and doing your homework and all that stuff and making sure you're prepared as a media member, but also like someone that has fallen in love with sports and being a fan of certain teams, certain players? Like, what is that balance like for you?
Balance, especially like where I am now, for like a couple different reasons. I'm able to be a fan of Mississippi State, like no problem. I can be a fan because I'm our reporter. So like anything that I'm talking about is for the good of Mississippi State. It's to brand us in the correct way. It's to promote us. So being a fan of Mississippi State is very easy. Now being a fan of Mizzou is hard, very hard, because I can't technically like just Mizzou it up how I want to. I probably push the limits a little bit, but I mean, that's my alma mater. So like, and we just happen to be ranked in basketball right now, and basketball is my love. So like, it's really hard. It's hard to like not want to, it might be all over the place. But I think you find the balance in just being able to like scream in your house. When I get home, I watch Mizzou games here and I scream in my house. I can't scream on Twitter. You know, I might send out a little tweet like, okay, Mizzou, you know, something. But just know that behind that tweet, I am in here with my Tiger's tail, like, going. And the people here know that. And I think that's something that's also interesting and has been fun, is because anytime that we play Mizzou, people at work or, like, fans even are like, how you feeling today? Or, like, how are you dealing with everything? So I think it's cool that, like, people know me well enough to know that I'm here, but I went to Mizzou, and, you know, it creates a little bit of fun every time that we have to face each other in anything. It could be, it's anything. We played them in football this year. We played them in basketball this year, and Mississippi State took care of business, which I couldn't be mad at. Like, when Mississippi State and Mizzou play, I'm always rooting for Mississippi State, because that's, like, who pays the bills. But, like, if Mizzou wins, then I'm not 100% sad. So it's, like, a toss-up.
So is that toss up one of so you said it's like a toss up, and you know, that sounds really fun. It does. So because of the fun that's generated at Mississippi State, well, let me rephrase it like this. Is the fun that you have at Mississippi State one of the reasons why you attended Mississippi State? If not, then what attracted you to attend Mississippi State?
Me being here is so random. I will tell you that it's super random. I was not looking at grad school at all. I came down here with somebody that went to Mizzou with us and wanted to come to Mississippi State for grad school. She wanted to do undergrad here, but she wanted to do journalism. That's what she thought. And so she went to Mizzou, which of course, but then she ended up not doing journalism. So she was like, I want to go to grad school at State. And she was like, come with me, like come on my tour, like take some days off of work and just come. So I was like, all right, like whatever. So I came with her and she had, you know, the tour set up with when she was going to meet with certain people and living her life. And as we got in front of people, they were like, so what do you want to do? Like, what are you here for? What are you trying to do? And I said, oh, I'm just here for moral support. Like, I'm not, whatever. And somebody was like, humor me. So I was like, well, I want to do sports journalism. Blah, blah, blah. She was like, you should go talk to Leah Beasley. And Leah Beasley is our assistant deputy AD of external affairs. Her title is very long. She's a boss, basically, is what is she is over our external affairs department. So she covers marketing, she covers our broadcast operations, our creative team, and our comms department. So I went and sat down in her office and talked to her about everything that I did at Mizzou, life, what I loved, what I wanted to do, storytelling, blah, blah, blah. So she's like, we're gonna walk down the hallway and meet Jared. Who is Jared? Corner office of the building, our CFO, our chief financial officer. So I'm like, oh, okay, hello, Jared. So go and sit in his office, and she's telling him all about me, and he's just sitting with his little leg crossed, and he's like, And they're like looking at each other, and I'm like, okay, I have no clue what's going on right now, but whatever. So that was in, gosh, I don't know. I don't even know what month that was now. Just time is weird. But that was in 2019. And I kept in contact with them over the next couple months. And then on 7 months to the day from my graduation, I signed my contract. So it was July 15th. I signed my contract to come here. They called me and said, we are going to create a GA position for you. We're going to pay for your school. And you're going to come be our reporter. And I just wanted to fall on the floor. And I did. I cried. And I just couldn't thank God enough, because going 7 months without a job is tough. Like, without a job in your field, but just it's tough. It's listen, really hard.
Listen, I know that feeling. Top of last year, I know that feeling. I applied to 70 jobs, top of January, and I didn't get hit with one.
It's
I
just, feel that. It's so discouraging.
He's not lying about the whole, like, 70 jobs thing. I remember him being like, yeah, I was on Indeed. I was on Monster. I was like,
yeah, you apply everywhere. And it's like, I was applying to these local sports jobs, and people were calling me, and I was just like, I don't want to do that. So I was back home. I was living at home. I was working at Coach, my high school job. Like, I was just literally going and selling handbags and shoes and wallets every day, which I loved doing, but it's not what I wanted to do. So it was really discouraging, like, seeing other people get jobs, and my best friends both had jobs, and they were in there, you know, doing what they wanted to do. And they, of course, were always encouraging me, but it's tough when you feel like you just spent all this money to go to school and you're not doing anything near to what you want to do. And so when I say it's a God thing that I'm down here, is because he literally laid each and every brick to get my foot to where I am right now, because there's no possible way. If 2 years ago you would have said, you know, you're going to be at Mississippi State, I'd have been like, huh, why am I down there? What is even happening? So it's a God thing. It was random. But I'm so blessed with the opportunity that I've been given down here, because they kind of let me do whatever, because this position wasn't here. They created it for me. So we were all kind of looking around like, we don't really know what this is going to be. So we're just going to go for it. I honestly think if I asked them to do an interview on a cow, they would let me. Like, they have just been so like.
Now you got to do that. You realize to do an interview on a cow.
Well, maybe a horse. Maybe a horse.
No, you said cow. You said
cow. I did say cow.
It's too late.
We'll see. I mean, I graduate in 2.5 months, so we'll see if I have time for that.
So,
hey, make it shake. Make it shake.
Right. Like,
come on.
Like,
now you have to do the interview.
Now you got
to
do it.
We'll see what I can do.
Come on, Miss Johnson.
Oh, no. Step it up. No, they probably would let me. They'd probably be like, okay. Because they've literally been so just open to letting me do whatever and figuring things out. Some things have worked. Some things haven't. Some things we've had to improve. I asked if I could do post-game interviews for basketball. They're like, yeah, go for it. I asked them if I can make a show. They said, yeah. I asked them if I can make another show. They said, yeah. So I'm just like rolling with it, you know, in Philly. There's a very small
pool. And he has a Pulitzer Prize.
Okay.
Go online. Hey, just go to University of Phoenix. It's just a potential doctor degree online. So you can be Shaquille O'Neal.
I'm not endorsing this.
All right, listen. Worst case scenario, get you a pair of black Air Force Ones. All right.
Worst case. No
Why
cap.
Why would you say that knowing I was drinking this water?
No cap. If I'm
trying to find somebody's school that I can
get. Right. Fucking nerd.
Jesse, you're in the PhD process. You get no say.
Talking about nerd.
You all three of you is nerd.
He said, I'm going to run back to school.
All three of you. All right. I'm graduated.
Look, because it's Super Bowl Sunday, look. I'm trying to go back to school because I'm trying to be where the money resides.
Okay. And look, sometimes poor. You have to go after
I am poor right now because not that a bachelor's degree ain't worth nothing. We all know that's not
true. It's not worth nothing.
But hey, bro, relax. Look, that's all I got right now.
Go to school, kids.
Go to school, y'all.
Little kids that are watching this, go to school. Yeah.
Or little kids are listening to
or
this.
Pick up.
I don't know, Josh. You never know where you're going to be.
Go to school or pick up a good trade. Do something with your life.
I mean, listen, if you can rap, hey, if you can rap,
honest. Hey, no cap. The only reason why I'm in this rap program.
Go to school, even if you can rap, because you need to know how to manage your money. Right, you need to know how to run a business. Don't listen to them.
You can take business classes. Just take business classes online.
Shoot, nah.
You think Kendrick Lamar gave a damn about not having like
a GED? I need to get a higher degree. That's
right.
Nigga, I want money.
Derek is in this square next to me, so high five. I don't know if I'm in his square.
I don't know how this works on Zoom. I'm confused. I don't know. But let's continue, like, kind of with those two specific schools that you've attended. You know, Mizzou and Mississippi State, both of them being PWIs. You know, there is a context that comes with them. So, with that context that I'm speaking to, what have you learned about Mississippi culture that has kind of shaped the way you cover African American athletes at these PWI institutions?
This was a hard question because. The dynamic of, and I think you can say this for any PWI, it's not just Mississippi State, is that your fans love your athletes, right? So like the fans here are diehard Mississippi State, ring your cowbell, like Hail State, as you know, most fan bases are in your college town. So this Starkville is not as big as Columbia. It's much smaller. So everything here is Mississippi stated out. Like, if you are here, you are going to games. If you are here, you are involved in the culture here. So it's interesting because the culture of Starkville is Hail State family. We are all, you know, supporting each other in all aspects. And I don't know how to say, like, I'm trying to say this in the right way. This summer proved that that's not always the case with every fan, as it wouldn't be anywhere. There's just difference of opinions and difference of experiences and difference of just life when you're dealing with topics like social injustice and I won't even say social injustice, racial injustice and police brutality. So covering our athletes here has been a joy. I've loved every single second of it. I love the student athletes here. They're intelligent. They're full of life and they're funny and they always make me laugh and they're really dedicated to what they're doing. So covering them has been easy because even in the hardest of times, which I think helped us in the long run, we had people in our department who were really trying to figure out how to make them feel comfortable and make them know that they were being heard. And it was a little bit of a burden this summer because I am the only Black person in our creative department. So I'm the only person of color in our creative department, in our like actual group of graphic designers and photographers and videographers. I'm the only person of color, only Black woman. So it was kind of daunting this summer, dealing with my emotions of everything that was going on, but then also trying to be an advocate for our student athletes in the best way that I knew how. But then also you have to realize that all your student athletes don't feel the same. Like So even all your Black student athletes do not feel the same way about how to go about making a statement, or do we want to say something? Do we not want to say something? How are we all feeling about it? Like y'all know, the Black experience is not monolithic. It's not one thing. There's layers to it. So it was a little daunting this summer, just trying to figure out how to deal with my emotions, but then also being able to get up and go to work and like try to fight on behalf of people in the best way that I knew how. So it was really hard, but I think just you have to learn your personnel. So it's not about technically knowing your fans, because it is about knowing your fans, but it's about knowing your student athletes. If you don't have a grasp on who your student athletes are, or have the need or want to know who they are and what they need, then you're going to fail every time, because it's about them at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's very real. And it's definitely something that you have to get accustomed to. And in terms of how to, like you said, deal with those emotions and manage all that. And also, you know, being the lone voice that is like, no, this ain't right. We got to do it this way, that way. So we can, you know, definitely commend you for that. On a lighter note, if you want to talk about getting adjusted to things and all that sort of stuff, what's the most Mississippi thing that you've done in your last year and a half or whatever have you down there in Starkville?
The most Mississippi thing that I've done. When I was looking at this question, I was like, I don't know. I don't think I've done anything super Mississippi. Like, other than maybe I've eaten a lot down here. There's just a lot of good food down here. I will say that. Starkville has a lot of good food. I did try alligator. That's probably the most Mississippi thing that I've done.
How does it taste?
I don't know if it's just the Black person in me. It just tastes like chicken. I don't know. It's kind of like chicken. I don't know if chicken is just like the default meat.
I think chicken gets compared to everything. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. I think that's probably the most Mississippi thing that I've done though.
Alligators and frog legs, top two.
I haven't had frog legs yet.
You need to hit it up.
I'm just really nervous about it.
I mean, like, they're not gonna serve them when they like riveting. Like, they're not gonna.
He said riveting. No, I mean, yeah, I get that.
They're
gonna be
like, they're gonna be like, hello, my baby. Baby, hello, my darling.
You're not gonna try to pick it. It's gonna be like, hey, what's the big idea?
I don't know. I just like, I don't know. I was really scared to try the alligator in the first place. And then I did it and I was like, oh, okay. I guess cool. You know?
Steve Irwin died for you to eat alligator.
I don't.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. No. Whoa,
Jesse.
No.
No. He didn't.
Wow. All right.
He was ambushed by a bitch ass stingray. Word to the Cat Williams.
He was like, RIP to the goat.
Like, wow. We can all agree that Steve Irwin did not need to go out like that. Like,
no, he didn't need to go out like that at all. I just would have thought I'd been an alligator, not a stingray.
back to the interview. So the SEC is crazy, right? Man.
So sports.
It's whose question is next? I think that's you.
Oh, is it me?
Please don't let it be Jesse.
Oh, it's my turn. Yay. let me pull you back into the series. Let me pull you back in there real quick, because earlier I asked you about, you know, how is sports journalism being more, you know, diverse? And, you know, you responded that in some ways it's a limbo, right? One side it is and one side it isn't. I want to tap back into that question, but I want to get just a little bit more specific with you, because I want to know this a little bit from your background. So I want to tap in and ask you this question. So I want to know, what's a challenge you believe a non-Black woman wouldn't understand or know that a Black woman in sports journalism or in journalism period would endure? Because, you know, we often talk about this thing, you know, where we say it's all diversity for Black women and women of color, but then there is a difference between the experience that a Black woman goes through and a woman of color. We can do that through gradients of pigment skin. So I just want to know, what's that challenge? Does that challenge even exist? Have you even seen that?
The challenges exist for sure. And I think everybody's like, it doesn't always have to do with race, but like there are things that just different races just have to deal with that others do not. if you're talking very just like surface level hair, like at the very like surface level of it all, I don't think I've ever seen any white woman reporter attacked for her hair by a fan or by whoever or whatever the case may be. There's some things that just being in this skin and being in the very natural state that I'm in, like this is how my hair grows out of my head, can be attacked. Having to deal with it. And in my team that I work with now, them having to think about certain things. Like, I know one day my boss came to me, or one of my coworkers came to me and said, hey, can we do an interview tomorrow? And I had a bun in my head. Like, no, we cannot. Like, not this big interview that, hey, can we do a sit down with it? No, not tomorrow. No, because my hair won't be, it will not, no. Sorry. We can do it in about 2 days. Yeah, where I can get it right and it can be, and it's going to look presentable. What is presentable? That's a whole nother thing. But for me to feel comfortable, because that's a real thing. If it's about to start raining, I need to get inside. Like, I can't just be out here. We were recording something for, like, our COVID protocols for the football stadium before the football season started. And I said, y'all know it's supposed to rain today? We need to move this up or move it back, because my hair is going to look crazy if it gets rained on, because we're doing this outside. My advice was not necessarily heeded, or we didn't move quick enough, and it rained. And my hair got messed up. And I said, I can't, it's going to look totally different from the beginning of this video to the end. So we either need to pause and like start over, or like whatever the case may be. That's something super, super surface level. But I think also the kind of things that the dynamics of the relationships that you deal with in dealing with athletes, dealing with male athletes, women, Black women are just overly sexualized in our society, period. So there's a lot of times where Taylor Rooks is a perfect example, where she'll be in an interview and comments under the interview are they having sex? I wonder if he tried to shoot his shot at her, whatever the case may be. Now, Taylor Rooks is beautiful. If you haven't tried to shoot your shot at Taylor Rooks, then I don't know. I would try to shoot my shot at Taylor Rooks.
I'm gonna need you to like talk to me offline about this, because like,
I'm trying to shoot
my
shot
at
Taylor Rooks.
I mean, have you seen her Instagram?
Me and Taylor Rooks have played taboo on her Instagram one time, though. We were on her Instagram.
That is more times than I played taboo with Taylor Rooks.
I'll see if I can put in a little something for you. I can't.
I appreciate that. Listen, I appreciate it.
That goddess is. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
listen, I just need you to set the pick, bro. I can come off the screen. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I will do what I can. I'm always trying to put my people on. But yeah, I don't know. It's just like, why are we asking if she's sleeping with him? Why does that matter? One. Two, why is that any of your business? And three, why are we asking that? I don't think I've ever seen like a comment under a Holly Rowe or a Laura Rutledge or a, you know what I'm saying? So it's like it's little things that build up and make me as a Black woman think about certain things differently. I know I was doing A Walk with the Dogs, which is one of my shows here. It's like a 94 Feet with Jay Billis, but we do it on different turfs and stuff. With one of our men's basketball players last year. And when I was getting my questions and stuff together, he has very visible like tattoos. He's a big tattoo guy. And so I wanted to ask like, how many tattoos he had and what was his favorite one? And I had to ask somebody, is that gonna come off flirty? And it's like things like that that men, and also some women, probably do not have to think about, because they're not going to think about, is that going to come off a certain way? Or because of my age, because I am not far removed from a lot of our athletes, I have to be very careful of, I'm a very friendly person. I love people. I'm myself 110% of the time. So I have to also make sure just something in me that I don't come off flirty, or I don't come off like too over the top or too bubbly or too cute. Like, I have to worry about that stuff. And there was almost a point when I was editing that interview where I was like, take it out, because I'm going to take it out, because I don't want that question in there, because I don't want people to be thinking, oh, she's looking at his tattoos, or oh, she's wanting to see under his shirt, because his favorite tattoo ended up happening to be on his chest. I didn't have him show me, of course, but like, it was a tattoo of his hometown from Canton. So it's little things like that that you just have to think about. And some women have different experiences that they have to go through. And those are just some that me being a Black woman that I've noticed just in mine. And with me being where I am in my career, there are some things that I probably haven't run into yet. There's stuff that Maria Taylor and Taylor Rooks and Carrie Champion probably have had to deal with. Even the Robin Roberts, back in the day when she was doing sports, I'm sure there's stuff that she had to deal with, especially at the time that she was doing it and was prominent in it, that I just have not run into yet. And hopefully that I won't have to, because hopefully we're blazing those trails.
Yeah, no, that's even, the little things like that are crazy that people have to even think about that stuff. It's, yeah. Hopefully we can get to a point one day where it's even not a thing. You know, that's probably a long ways away, but, you know, hopefully.
We're gonna keep blazing these trails, you know what I'm saying?
Period. But kind of staying with this, but kind of diving into a different direction. This has always been a thing in sports, but we've even seen it, I guess, a little more heightened with like recent interviews with like Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, just like their interactions with the media. And then we all know how some other players in basketball, as well as other sports, how their relationships are seen, you know, with the media. And those different things. So with that, you know, what is one thing you wish that the media did differently, or one thing you wish that they would do differently when it comes to covering Black and African-American athletes?
This is a loaded question, because I think there can be a little give and take on both sides of the table. I think there are assholes in every profession, right? Like, there's no profession that's just fully like, all right, we're great. We don't do anything wrong. Sometimes journalists get it wrong. Sometimes journalists ask bad questions. Sometimes journalists ask inappropriate questions at inappropriate times. Like, whoever asked that question about Kyrie, they asked Kyrie about LeBron being a father figure. Bad question. It was phrased bad. And then when Kyrie even kind of gave him the inkling, like, I really hope this is not what you're asking. And he continued to ask, bad question. What? I have one father. Okay. It's not LeBron James. You know, I think there's give and take on both sides. I think some journalists have to have a better understanding of the holistic experience of the Black athlete. I think that would help tremendously. I think that was kind of brought to the surface this summer of, you have to understand a lot more background to understand how to cover people well. But on the opposite side, and I know we're probably going to get into that, I think when I hear athletes say that they don't like to talk to the media, they hate the media, that they only hear so they don't get fun, whatever it gets at me, that's kind of hurtful, because it's also like you're not giving the people who are there for the right reasons a chance to like help tell your story. You know, and I think that's what my big thing is that if you aren't open or aren't giving yourself a chance to be out in the open, there's no way that we can tell the right narrative. So no narrative gets told if there's no journalist, and definitely the right narrative doesn't get told if you don't do media. So I think it's give and take. I know some athletes hate the media. And that's just what it is. They've been scorned or whatever the case may be, or they just don't think it's important. I think media is extremely important. But I think it's just what journalists do with the information that they get that shows how effective it can be.
Yeah, I think Kyrie is an interesting case, as you were saying, because, I mean, he took that break. And it was for mental health and all that kind of stuff. And he clearly needed to take that break, because he's come back since then and is averaging something like 27 points a game. So it's clearly that he just needed to go do a reset. At the same time, Kyrie is famous for having, like, he's been around media enough to know that, like, when he says certain things, like, I think it was like last year, he's like, oh yeah, we need more than this. Like, we can't, like, one of these, somebody's got, you know, me and KD need more help. It's like, well, bro, like, it's your first year. You can't, like, even if that's true, you're going to piss off like half the locker room saying that, because those guys, you know, earn a paycheck too. They're sitting there like, well, damn, like, if you don't want me here, then, you know, why am I even hooping with you? You know what I mean? So it is, like you said, a very interesting dynamic.
Yeah. And I think it's also like, you know, that anything can be taken out of context. Y'all can chop up this interview and make me sound like I said I hated Mississippi State and I never wanted to come here.
Oh, we will.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks. I love Mississippi State, by the way. Hail State. But there are certain things you just can't say. Like, unless you have a different agenda and a different reasoning behind what you're saying, James Harden really wanted out of Houston. That man wanted out of Houston so bad, he was going to say anything to anybody to get out of Houston. And so he basically said that he didn't think anybody there was going to help him win a ring.
Oh, listen, when he made that last comment, it was just like, we can't bring this back, this guy back.
No. It's like, how can you let somebody say that and then proceed to let him in the locker room? So they had to let him go. Things like that, you knew what you were doing. You were trying to get get out of the jam. Fine.
But it's also like your favorite player, KD, when he talks about how much he distrusts the...
That is not my favorite player.
No, she, like, y'all can't see it, but she has, like, the full, like, Kevin
that
Durant
is,
spread up
that
in the back.
That is not my favorite player.
She has the OKC.
She has number 35. She has my jersey on.
She has the Warriors.
KD lovers. Loves KD. Kevin Durant, if you're listening to this, she wants a front court seat ticket for the Brooklyn Nets game virtually.
There's only one reason that I am cheering for the Brooklyn Nets this year, and it's because of Reggie Perry, who went to Mississippi State, was drafted by Brooklyn Nets. I really want him to get a ring his rookie season. That would be great.
KD to get a ring too.
If Reggie getting a ring means KD gets a ring, then fine. But that is the one and only reason I'm cheering for the Brooklyn Nets to be any good this year is because of Reggie Perry.
No, but what I was trying to say was that, you know, KD talks about how much he dislikes media and all that kind of stuff, and he takes that out of context. But he's also someone that, like, he pokes the bear sometimes, you know what I mean? He gives off these, like, really, like, snippy, like, answers and then doesn't expect people to follow up and stuff like that. Like, I remember when he was going through his last run with the Warriors, and there were all these, like, theories and stuff about him not wanting to be there. And he's like, why are you guys asking me about this? It's like, well, Kev, like, you didn't say explicitly, I want to be back here. I'm going to resign here, or like, you know, this is like, hey, guy, like, I just would rather, like, can we talk about this after the season? You're just like, why are you guys asking me this question that I refuse to directly answer? It's like, well, like, that's kind of why, like,
that's why. I guess this is why LeBron James will run Cleveland when he's done, like, probably be the mayor of Cleveland, because we always go to him, but him or even going to the WNBA with Maya Moore, like, they answer full complete questions, and if they don't want to answer a question, they know how to pivot out of it. You know, it's like, yeah. I guess you can call it media training. Perhaps you can. Yeah, you definitely say it's media training. But part of that also comes with like poise and patience. It's like, yeah, we know you got done with a game, you're pissed off, you're tired, you're sore, it's a long season, you possibly lost or what happened, some chemistry, whatever it is, right? But it's just that poise in it. So yeah.
Yeah, media literacy is a huge thing.
There's also someone like Marshawn. Like, Marshawn legitimately, it's not that he had any beef with any media. He was just like, I really don't feel like doing this. And so, like, I'm going to give you the same answer. And then, you know, like, if you want to get to know me outside of this, fine. But, like, he clearly is not someone that has a whole bunch of trust in other people. And I sort of respect that more than you being like, well, how dare you ask me this question? He's just like, yeah, man, like, I really don't want to do this. Like, this is something that the team is making me do. Like, I have to come out and speak to the media. This is not really something I want to do. If we want to do this on sort of like maybe a more personal level, then fine. But like, this is not really something I'm interested in.
It's all about understanding each other. Sorry, Jesse.
No.
I just feel like I said at the beginning, there's give and take on both sides. The media is there. They have a job to do. They have to feed their families the same way that players do. Yeah. And so you think about somebody like a Kevin Durant, who's really good friends with Taylor Rooks and has done her show and like whatever the case may be, but they also have a relationship, a working relationship that allows probably that to foster and for him to feel comfortable there. I think there are some times where the media can, and I'm using the media as like in such an overarching term. It's not for everybody, but
like the man.
Yes, like the man. But in this context, I'll use it for lack of a better term. But sometimes the media gets a little, what's the word I'm afraid? They might feel entitled. Like, we're the media, you're a player, and you have to come talk to us. Well, yeah, they do, but also don't be an ass. And also, like, do your research and like know, and not saying that I don't want this to get out, I don't know who will see this, but whatever, saying that I just know, but no, I ask dumb questions too. Sometimes I'm like, dang, why I asked that? And I will cut it out of my little interview because I never said it. But it's both. It's reading the room. It's knowing who you're talking to. You're going to get very different answers from like a Greg Popovich than you're going to get from a LeBron James. And I think people have understood how to handle Greg Popovich. So like, understand how to handle your KDs and understand how to handle your LeBrons and your Kyrie Irvings, because everybody has something that needs to be said and needs to be heard, and hearing from Kyrie is just as important. But you can't ask him the same questions you're going to ask LeBron. If you're trying to get the best thing for your story or the best thing for your whatever, you have to know how to ask the right questions, which is something that I'm still also trying to learn and study is, when do I ask this question? I want to ask the same question to somebody else, but I know he's not going to take it that same way. So I have to figure out how you're going to receive it better, or how it's going to come off to you for you to understand it better and what I'm trying to get out of you.
Yeah, I think if I would have endeavored into sports journalism, I would have picked up a psychology major, a minor, because like you, it is a lot of, you have to read people and you have to really understand, you know, their thoughts and their emotions and their process. You know, maybe the way how you deliver a question, they might take that as offensive as opposed to someone else. You know, you can probably be a little bit more rugged and rough with someone like Steven Adams, who you just like, you know, you're just busting his chops, versus maybe Kevin Durant, who just gets a little bit more sensitive, like with certain questions, you know. And I guess understanding that barometer of answering questions was really on display last year. You know, when we were going back to everything of being in the bubble, everything was going on with racial injustice, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, you know, Tony McDade, you know, these figures, Otoyin, you know, and you can just see in some cases where some media, they sucked at asking questions. They did not read the fucking room well. And others, they actually asked those questions well. And one of those questions, well, they asked some questions about how the athletes were, you know, doing and being involved and being in their community. We've seen that with some young players, right? A la Jaylen Brown, right? So, like, we've seen that from them. So, I guess that goes into, like, what do you feel is the responsibility of these Black / African-American athletes in protesting against social injustice in the United States, you know? Is there, because we always talk about this, right? Like, we always talk about this idea of, like, shut up and dribble. This idea of like, you know, you're supposed to be focused on just playing sports, but how can you do that, especially what happened last year? So is there a responsibility for the Black athletes, or for Black athletes, either for the NBA or for the WNBA, to actually go out and protest? And on the flip side of that, is there even a responsibility for the media, for the journalists, to report those things and connect social justice to sports? Because in a lot of ways, sports is a microcosm of society.
Oh, for sure. That's a great question. I think everybody has a responsibility to do what is within their power to make the world better, period. I think that that's not by skin tone. That's not by gender. That's just everybody. You should wake up every day and like want to make the world better. I just believe that wholeheartedly. Like, I think our Black athletes have a responsibility to do what is their thing. Jaylen Brown is a protester. He's a talker. He's a speaker. He's a leader in that. You saw that. And some people aren't that. Some people are not frontline people, and that's okay. I think it's about doing what you feel comfortable in doing, because if you ask Jaylen Brown to go and lead a protest, he's going to go do this. If you ask, I don't know, maybe like a, I don't know, it's a lot more quiet. I don't know. If you ask one of the quieter players who maybe doesn't want to be on the front lines to go lead a protest, they're not going to do it as well, because that's just not them. Like we were talking about earlier, there's not one way to be Black. There's not one way to fight racial injustice. There's not one way to support Black people in a movement. And I think we get so caught up in athletes being having this platform and this voice and whatever the case may be, because I saw a lot of people attacking LeBron for not having something on his jersey in the bubble. And I'm just like, y'all, that's, I don't know, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
But on the flip side, people attack Jimmy Butler because he didn't have nothing on his
nothing. And I just think it's like, if you listen to Jimmy Butler's reasoning behind why he didn't want to have anything, then you would have understood. That was his way of saying, like, him not having anything said something, because people were talking about, well, why does he have anything on the back of his jersey? Well, you know what I'm saying? So I think we have to get away from there being one way to protest or one way to do this and that or one way to help the movement or one way to be Black, because that's not the case. And Black people are guilty of that. We very much are guilty of, well, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? Because that's your way. That's not my way. I'm a protester. I'll go out and protest and like, fine, be in the streets. That's fine. But that's just, that's me.
Maybe your pen game is more potent. I remember
that's somebody, what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Raquel Willis actually talked about this. Raquel Willis is a very influential transgender activist. And she was talking about there's different ways to protest. She said, maybe your pen game or maybe being the writing is a way for you to combat social injustice. Maybe it's, you know, being on blogs. Maybe it's just you simply giving out resources. So I definitely agree with that.
For sure. And even like when Ferguson was happening, I was not out in Ferguson. I will not lie to y'all and tell y'all I was on the streets. I was not. I went to go drop off water during the day at that gas station. And like when people were out there, I was not out there, one, because my parents were like, hell no. And two, because at that time, I come into my like, yes, fight the power. I'm ready. I was about to go to college. Like, I was like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this. And then like, so Mike Brown kind of sparked that for me in trying to figure out, okay, what do I want to do? So I went and dropped off water and I went and dropped off supplies and that was what I could do in that moment. Now I will, yes. Mm-hmm, I'm going to be, y'all going to this protest? Hell yeah, I'm going to go. Yes. I will get a sign. We will get it popping. But I think everybody's job is to do what is within your means and what is within your power and your comfortability. There we go. You have to say it fast.
You said that shit like you were trying to say brewery.
Shut up. I can say brewery, okay?
You did not say that confidently. You didn't say that loud. You said I can say brewery.
Okay. Brewery. There are words I start. Y'all know what I'm trying to say.
I know. You from Detroit. Act like you
from Detroit. Ooh, hey, that's fine words.
Shut up, Josh. What you just
you talking about? You didn't.
He just assumed you said it. She was just like, shut up.
Right, like, she didn't hear what he said. That's crazy. That's crazy.
You want to say it again? Yeah, I didn't think so. But yeah.
Nah, it was like the whole LeBron thing to me was particularly unfair that people were getting on him, because like LeBron is not only the face of an entire league, he's damn near the face of like North America, like American sports, period. Yeah. Right? So like he gets asked different questions than like 99.9% of athletes playing in the U.S. do today. He has different expectation levels on him. And he also has done so much already off the court to let you know where he stands about certain things, right? The only thing that you can really fault him on is like the whole Tamir Rice thing, because like that was in his backyard, right? And he didn't make a definitive stand on that. But having said that, like LeBron has been pretty active and on the front lines about every, like, he might not like physically protest because he's LeBron fucking James, right? But like he does so much other work surrounding this. So if he's like, I don't necessarily need to put a name on the back of my jersey, because then it's also then like, okay, which one person does he stand with? And
right.
Like, and that becomes a thing, right?
Why'd you pick a man? You should have picked a woman. Why'd you pick a woman? You should have picked a man. Why'd you pick a child? You should have picked an adult. It becomes that because he is. And it does matter who you are. LeBron is going to get judged differently than your Tyler Heroes. Tyler Hero could have put anything and people would have been like, see, he down with the cause. He's whatever. He's invited to the cookout because he put some on the back of his jersey. But y'all looking at LeBron, and because LeBron James, who has a school and has donated all this money, isn't with the cause because he didn't put some on the back of his jersey.
A school that's doing exceptionally well.
Exceptionally well. Y'all should follow them on Twitter. They're a good follow. All the content. Whenever I see them, I just smile.
It's actually kind of hilarious that like Tyler Hero had Black Lives Matter on the back of his jersey and was like giving people buckets. Like, that's a little bit funny too.
Like that's a little funny.
That's hilarious, bro. Like, it's like, yeah, Black Lives Matter. 30 pieces in your head, nigga. Like,
do you know like how funny this would have been if like Jason Williams was able to do that?
Dog, if White Chocolate was getting buckets,
boy.
He's like, yeah, Black Lives Matter. Hee hee. Like
buckets. Like, dude, that's all they were getting.
Oh my God. Jason Williams, Mike Miller, Tyler here, Brian Scalabrine, bro, they would have went off.
The white mama.
Like, you know what I'm saying? We can't hold him. He's LeBron James. Like, it don't matter what he was doing. Like, it matters. And he was doing something outside of it. It doesn't matter if he had something.
Yeah, again, a ring. Number four, baby.
He did do that.
Taylor, you look so disappointed.
He looks so over it when you said
so close.
I know, but they lost
Miami. Hey Jesse.
Nowhere near.
You know what?
If I take four for one, and
damn, he trying to do elementary math. What the, Jesse? You wild.
Jesse, bring. You know what? That's okay. We gonna get active after this thing. Okay, I'm a public figure. I cannot even say what I want to say on this thing. I knew y'all were gonna be the problem. Jesse and Josh, me and Derek have been doing well. Jesse and Josh just.
Do you realize how much shit Derek has said before you started?
Relax, because first of all, I didn't see you. Said you see.
Derek was talking about your hair and shit. I was like, damn.
Wow.
Derek would never. Derek would never.
You don't know that. You don't know
that. Derek would never.
That is slander.
His caliber of person is just.
And there, you got to run Jesse the Fade one time. Bro.
Yeah, you do, because he's really trying to slander your name.
Hold on. For all the girls on Twitter, me and women's business. No, come on, not me. Not me and women's business.
He don't sound convincing. That's the thing.
That's wild. I would never. I'm gonna go to fight a war.
I wouldn't do that. No.
I'm gonna go fight a war and build a house, man.
Derek is.
Oh wow, Derek.
Well, that'd be killing me. Like, go fight a war or something. Well, the draft ain't a thing, so
it's not.
Why would I do that?
Why would I purposely go do that?
Do not go do that. No.
I'm not fighting for this country. But no, back to the interview. You talked about like coverage and different things like that, and coverage plays a huge part in the popularity of sports and who's being seen, who's not being seen. Do you feel there is limited sports coverage on women in sports? And then what are some ways in which we can expand that coverage so that they get the proper representation?
I won't even say limited coverage on women's sports, because your SEC networks and your Big Ten networks of the world are playing the games and are commentating the games and are doing the games the same way they're doing the guys. I think women's professional sports, it's harder because most of the time you're talking about revenue, right? And you're talking about your ESPN. Are you playing this women's basketball game, or are you going to play this fight? I'd much rather see the women's basketball game, but this fight is on. Okay, fine. So I think it's up to when you're talking about the college level, it's much easier to say, okay, well, I'm going to go watch this women's basketball game because of course it's on. You have to do it. WNBA is something that you have to seek out a little bit more. It's on your ESPN pluses and it's on your ESPN twos and your things like that. So I think it's gotten better. I think, once again, going back to the summer, I think a lot happened this summer to help sports, to that sports helped. But there's one of my followers on Twitter, this girl I follow on Twitter, Ariel Chambers, I think is her last name. I think her last name is Chambers, but she's big WNBA. And I started following her because she's just like WNBA'd out. And I told myself that I was gonna do better with the WNBA. I haven't really had the chance to do better, but I promise I'm gonna do better. But, and it's hard. Like, it's hard to just hop in something new and you pick a team, whatever the case may be. We have, Mississippi State has a couple people who play in the NBA. The WNBA. So I'm trying to just like hop on board and kind of like getting to know basically a whole new league, because it's new to me, because it hasn't really been a popular thing for a long time. So it's like you're having to learn new. It's like somebody trying to hop into the NBA. Like, if you don't know anything about it, you just hopping in like, okay, who are these people? Who do I know? Who do I want to like? Who do I whatever? So I think there is limited coverage at certain levels, but I think if you want to find women's sports and like really want to hop on, that there's ways to do that and just support and don't talk bad about women's sports. Like women's basketball is no different than
you just brought up my point with what you just said, because it's very, very weird. I don't know how all y'all feel, but like it's just very, very weird to like see like grown men who probably have never even played a sport. Like I ain't say you had to make your high school team or whatever, but you probably have never even played a sport. Say like to a Maya Moore, to a Elena Del Don, to a Sue Bird, get back in the kitchen.
It's so frustrating.
It's sexist. It's racist. It's cute. All the other essentialisms. Like it's a sectional gumbo. Because I'm gonna tell you this now. I'm gonna tell y'all this now. I saw the WNBA finals last year. That shit was lit.
Lit.
It was intense. I ain't gonna hold you. Beyonce giving niggas buckets. I was like,
Beyonce Stewart would wash everybody in those comments.
Washing G.
Everybody. And part of like me just wants to like one day just, okay, you know what? We are in this city. You got something to say? Pull up. Like Breonna Stewart is here. You got something to say? Pull up. Pull up.
Sorry, because she was not gonna
Live for that. I would live for that.
I love how like she was coming up to the 3-point line and knocking them hoes down like KD. So yeah, it was really nice.
Or how many times are we going to mention KD on this call? Here, let me set the record straight, because people are going to watch this and think that I don't mess with KD. It's not, I respect him as a basketball player. He is one of the greatest that we're ever going to see. However, I was a big OKC fan. He did OKC kind of dirty. He did Russell Westbrook kind of dirty. I love Russell Westbrook. So there it is. I was not happy with him. I was not happy. He doesn't care. He doesn't care that my little Jalen Johnson from St. Louis is not happy with him. But when I get to the league and when I become a reporter, I'm going to tell him, I'm going to say, hey, mister.
He's going to be 40 by then. Like, he's not going to be here.
I'm going to tell him, you broke my little heart.
He's going to be on a set of he's going to be a set of NBA, like, okay.
That's okay. Because I will also be at the NBA at that point. So we're going to have, like, drinks and talk about it. But hurt was my feeling.
Man, you got to let that hurt go.
Yeah, let that hurt go, man.
It's like let go, because like now OKC's not my team anymore. The Celtics have always been my team, and y'all know this. You know me. You know I'm big Celtics girl, okay? Big.
Down for the beanheads in the building.
You know, I love the Celtics. I love the Celtics. I just... yes. Y'all know who is that guy? Y'all know who that guy is? Jason Tatum. He's that guy. Y'all know y'all know where he's from? Do y'all know where Jason Tatum is from?
Side note. I saw a very weird post on like Bleacher Report or some other thing. So I'm like, what if these people had stayed in state? Jason Tatum wasn't going
to
stay.
Jason Tatum was not going to Mizzou, please.
You know schools here that he want to play for?
No, they had him at Lincoln.
Lincoln University?
Not even Harris Stowe, which is in the city. Like they had
Lincoln
him at
University?
All places. Mm-hmm. Like Lincoln University.
No. Jason Tatum was not going to Mizzou. He was not staying home. He was not going to Lincoln. He was not going to Harris Stowe. Now, as much as I would have loved to say Jason Tatum went to Mizzou, blah, 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 he's still from the city, so I don't care where he went. Because where he come back to, okay? All right. Here, point blank.
Well, speaking of St. Louis.
Yes, what about thank you, Jesse. Speaking of St. Louis, it is sort of like a limited sports market, you know, because you have the Blues and you have, you know, the Cardinals. That's about it, right?
We're getting soccer.
Yeah, I was about to say, is it there or are you all still getting it?
We're getting soccer now.
Okay. Yeah, but like, so how do you think it's time for like more sports teams? And like, do you think that's actually something that would be viable within the city?
Oh my God, please give us a basketball team. I don't know who's listening. Please, God, please. Please, Adam Silver, help! Because
she said that shit like she was a hostage, bro. Like
Adam Silver, please.
She
NBA.
Said that shit like she was on an episode of Scooby Doo.
LeBron, somebody help,
LeBron,
please.
What? Hey, calling LeBron because hey, what? It'd be funny to say if like LeBron on, just said for shits and giggles just to go to St. Louis,
like
like what? all I'm saying is I'm just calling for LeBron to maybe start the conversation, because whenever LeBron says something, we talk about it. Nobody was talking about if this All-Star game was a good idea until LeBron said, this is not a good idea. Now it's a news story.
So no, people before that was like, yeah.
Okay, but why? It's a news story now, though.
It's a news story because, like, the biggest person in the game is like, nigga, this shit does not make sense.
Exactly, which is what I'm saying. I am talking about bringing the basketball team to St. Louis. Nobody cares about me. LeBron, help. LeBron, Jason, help.
Sweetheart.
Bradley. Okay.
You think LeBron gonna be coming twice a year to St. Louis?
All I'm saying is, I just need him to bring it up. He doesn't need to like come to St. Louis and play. I don't know. I'm just saying.
What's his school name? I promise. Yeah, I promise that won't happen.
Wow, Jesse.
Bruh, what?
Daddy, hey,
he just emptied the clip. He said,
"Right, like whoa." Jesse, did I hurt you in a past life?
Bro, that's
everybody has heard him, Jalen. Everybody has heard him.
You said, "I promise they're not coming." That's hilarious.
That's hilarious.
Wow. I promise that won't happen.
Oh wow!
I promise.
You know what? Well, let me. You know what? Forget that, because let me answer my question, because Jesse's trying to be mean. I do think that it is time for St. Louis to expand in the sports. I don't think we're ever going to get a basketball team. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I
promise you, you won't.
Hey, you know what? You know what, Jesse? Can we kick? How do we get him out of here? I don't want. He's below me.
How do you delete someone else's tweet?
He's below me. I think with the soccer team coming, it's probably going to be like, that's going to be the lock. Like, three is probably going to be, is going to be it. I would, thinking my business mind, I think that's great for St. Louis. I think that's going to bring in so much money, because soccer is the thing now. Like, soccer is it. So, like, yes, bring in the money, help my hometown, whatever the case may be. The Cardinals, it will forever be a baseball city. Forever. There's nothing that's changing. Like, the love, you grow up, even if you don't like baseball and you're from St. Louis, you like the Cardinals. It's an automatic, we have Cardinals Day when you were in school growing up. Sometimes you have Blues Day. I know since the Blues won the Cup, which was an awesome thing to experience, like, for the first time. So that was cool, but St. Louis will forever be a baseball city. Yeah. Even if we did get a basketball team, it would still be baseball all the way.
But I think that's why, though. You know how, like, some NBA teams, they go close to, like, the market? Like, I don't know about y'all, but, like, certain sports teams are, like, kind of brewery-based teams. Like, it's like, when I think of this, like, game, like, baseball. No, for real, like baseball.
Did you say brewery, like, soccer? Because I was having trouble.
No, I'm not. I'm being dead ass right now.
Okay.
St. Louis is, like, you know, like, one of them hustling, bustling, like, cities. Like, this, like, one of them on the come-up cities. So it makes sense for, like, baseball or, like, even soccer. Like, I picture those, like, fans sitting out there, open field, drinking something, like, chilling, enjoying it. That's how I've always seen it. It's, like, one of those hustling, bustling cities. Kind of similar to, like, Milwaukee, in a sense. But the difference is, like, Milwaukee's only popping out because of Giannis, the Bucks. So we're just going to keep it like that.
Yeah, that's true. Shout out to Steve Qualls, y'all. Shout out to Steve Qualls.
Shout out to Mr. Qualls.
Qualified. But St. Louis doesn't qualify for a basketball team. So, since that has to go.
She's already dead.
Here's the thing, Jesse. If you want to see me in my city, you can see me in my city. Okay?
Okay.
I don't.
I'm going to see you to this question.
No. You know what happens. You know what happens when people try to come for St. Louis on Twitter, and I'm not going to let it happen. You know, I'm not going to let that happen.
Yeah, you're not
going to. I'm going to be disrespectful.
Okay. So you're going to let that go?
Nope.
You're going to let that one
go? It is right here.
You're going to let that go?
It is here.
You're going to let that go?
It is here. I'm not letting it go.
And that's another thing you're going to let go. Because it's now time for our one gotta go series question. Well, we're going to ask you a selective group.
What is wrong with him? He is so over him. Kick him out.
You're so spicy.
I came in here so nice, like a flower, and he has maneuvered all over my flower.
Oh my god, that's funny. I'm sorry, Jesse. Been wilding for the past 2 days. That's funny.
This is too much.
It's too much. But you know, I guess one has to go. And so
Jesse, I pick like Jesse.
Okay, cool. Well, you can pick me. But you can also pick these other people too, because this is our WNBA edition. Maya Moore, Breonna Stewart, Asia Wilson, or Candace Parker.
Oh my God, y'all, are y'all kidding me?
We asked the tough questions here.
Okay, we said Asia, Brianna, Maya, and who am I missing?
Candace
Parker. God. I'm not getting rid of Candace Parker.
You better not.
Oh, God.
Maya, Brianna, Asia.
Oh, my God. This is really hard. Okay, I have my answer. Oh, my God. I'm going to get rid of, oh my God, people are gonna hate me. I'm going to get rid of Breonna Stewart.
Let's go, during Black History Month.
It's Black History Month. It's Black History Month, my sister. It's cool.
Open your third eye.
This is an Africans only podcast. Right. Please log on.
No, I'm going to tell y'all the real reason I'm getting rid of Breonna Stewart though. Breonna Stewart has a great overall game, but I think there can be more Breonna Stewarts. I don't think you're not going to get a lot of Asia Wilsons and Maya's. Asia Wilson was not going anywhere just because being able to actually see her since she was in the SEC and like see how absolutely just dominant she was. Like, Breonna, I love you, girl, but like.
I was going to say, you're going to get rid of Asia Wilson? During Black History Month? What is wrong with you?
How dare you?
I could never. No, I love Asia Wilson. And I'm not supposed to say this because I go to Mississippi State and because that's like our rival. But
redacted.
Hey, D. Will, just bleep this one out. Just bleep this one out.
Yeah, bleep this one out because I cannot be gushing over anything.
Redacted.
Because our fans will kill me, but like.
Redacted.
Oh God, I love her. Love her so much.
Okay, that's the case. I'm gonna pass it to my homie, see what he got to say.
So I have one up my sleeve as well. This is gonna be
okay.
This is gonna be a real tough one.
A real tough one. This is gonna, gonna shake the table, if you will. One gotta go, Celtics edition, right? Yeah, we took it there.
Oh my God,
Jason Tatum.
Never,
Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum or Jason Tatum.
I will go.
Sorry, Jalen. That's not the question we asked. I asked for you to go. You have to pick. Is it Jason Tatum, Jason Tatum, Tatum, Jason, or Jason Tatum?
Is it curly hair, Jason Tatum? Is it like the big fro? Like...
Now this we can actually do.
Is it like fade with no waves, Jason, that has to go? Like
The fade, Jason Tatum would have to go.
Ricky, Jason Tatum.
Really?
I love curly hair, Jason Tatum. Okay. I love curly hair, Jason Tatum. I think he looks a little bit older. I don't know. I just like the curly hair. The fade is nice.
Really?
I think Jason Tatum is a very attractive young man. I think the curly hair works for him.
What works for us is saying you gotta go. For everybody here on the It's Just Joe podcast, it's Ruby Joe, aka Justin Bella, aka Joshua Chapman, Derek Smalls, aka Damn Derek. We find that podcast. Shout out to Kobe. We wish you could be here. Thank you for D Will for everything behind the scenes. Once again, give it up, girl, Jayla Johnson. Jayla, thank you so much.
Now just doing a lot. He's now just. That is what
season two, baby. Yeah, bye bye.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
Oh my God.
Jalen, where can the people find you?
The people can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at jregina14. That's where y'all can find me. I'll be out and about. Y'all can follow Hail State for all of our content and stuff. Hail State FB, Hail State WBK, all that good jazz. So. That's where y'all can see me.
We appreciate you coming on and closing out our Women's History Month special edition of the It's Just Joe's podcast. Thank you to everyone that has listened. Jesse pretty much ran through the acknowledgments. So shout out to King Boy and Jay Alizier for the outro music. And we will see you guys.
This too hot, Scorpio.